Okay, folks, amazing about Face by Canada. They decided they were going to help themselves to some freebies, taxing our social media. So think Instagram, X, Facebook. 3% tax on revenue from Canadian users. Trump said, oh, no, you won't. Canada said, oh, yes, we will. They call it the digital services tax. And Trump said, fine, we're done negotiating on the tariffs. We'll just leave them where they are. No more tariff negotiations. Yeah, we've got pretty big tariffs on Canada right now. Yeah, no tariff negotiations. We'll just leave them there. They lasted 48 hours before they caved. Mark Carney rescinding the digital services tax after Trump cuts them off from trade talks. Folks, it just goes to show you who really has all the power. It's us. We just never flexed it before. You know what would have happened with any other president? Joe Biden, even George W. Bush, strongly worded statement. Condemnation. They wouldn't have done a thing. They'd have just sat back. That'd be unpresidential. Not Trump. He just goes to war with you. Unbelievable. Okay. Meanwhile, Fox News reporting the top Iranian cleric has issued a fatwa against Trump and Netanyahu. Now, this is, and you know what's so funny about this? This is huge news because of the clash in Iran. The original fatwa, death sentence, calling for all believers to murder Trump and his entire staff, that was actually put on by the Ayatollah Khomeini on, it was back when it was Twitter. And remember, Trump was so horrible, we couldn't hear from him, so they took his account, but they left the Ayatollah's where he regularly called for death to, well, just about everyone, including Trump. And then we had the actual attempts. Over the weekend, we learned of a new attempt we didn't know of before by the Iranians trying to kill Mike Pompeo when he was in Europe. So that's a brand new one. And it's not going to stop. As long as this leadership is in place, it's not going to stop. So the top Iranian cleric, so this time not Khomeini, this is a different one. So this is the second death fatwa. And they tried to word it so it wasn't completely obvious, but that's what it was. The fatwa from Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi called on Muslims around the world to take a stand. States that any individual or government that challenges or endangers the leadership and unity of the global Islamic community is to be regarded as a warlord or a mohareb, defined as somebody who wages war against God. Under Iranian law, those identified as mohareb can face execution, crucifixion, limb amputation, or exile. So I got to wonder how the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Tucker Carlsons feel this morning seeing this. I know how I feel. And folks, major news on Friday got buried by so much stuff that was going on. I don't know if you saw this. What Israel said, their foreign minister was asked, hey, so you're not going to kill the Ayatollah, you're not going to kill the theocracy, the leadership of Iran, which by the way is illegitimate. I mean, they rule by force. They are not elected. Not in a real way or a meaningful way. Those people are slaves in their own country. And he was asked, so what? Trump told you not to take out the Ayatollah? Because remember, Trump bragged, hey, I told Israel to stop and they turned the planes around. And you know, we got the ceasefire. And Israel was very clear. And they said two things. Number one, the only reason we didn't kill the Ayatollah was because we couldn't get him. We tried. And number two, he was then asked the most obvious question, well, are you going to kill the Ayatollah or do you have to ask Trump's permission? They said, we don't need anyone's permission. That was Friday. It actually happened Thursday, but it made the rounds on Friday. Did you notice any condemnation from Trump? Did he drop any F-bombs on television? Tell Israel to stand down publicly? Mm-mm. He didn't. Because this isn't over. The Ayatollah is only alive because they haven't gotten to him yet. And I think what they're waiting on is the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill. I think once the domestic agenda is finally set and set on autopilot in a way that's going to absolutely rev the economy. I mean, when you get 100% immediate expensing of factories, Katie barred the door. I mean, it's going to be a building binge. We just got to get the interest rates now down now so they can afford to borrow the money. But you're going to see an absolute boom in this economy in so many different ways. Yeah, Trump's going to have to wait till he gets that done. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, you over the weekend, and I was talking about this a little bit earlier. I mean, Trump was clear over the weekend.
If Iran...
Are you from Iran?
No, I'm not from Iran. I'm from the UK. But if the intelligence reports conclude that Iran can enrich uranium to a level that concerns you, would you consider bombing the country again?
Sure, without question, absolutely.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, this came out. And I wanted to dig more deeply into this. I tweeted about this weekend. There's three of these facilities. We hit everybody focused on the one in the mountain, Fordo. And that was the one that CNN lied about. Claimed we hadn't taken it out, but didn't tell their viewers that they were relying on a report marked low confidence because they basically knew it was fake news. And the New York Times did the same thing. They just essentially lied to their constituents, lied to their viewers, readers, without because they didn't put that part in. They were talking about Fordo. There's two more we didn't hit. Well, one of them we hit. It's the one, and folks, this is the one that interests me in a lot of ways more than Fordo. And it's barely been reported about. It's barely been talked about. It's the one that the Chinese run. There's about 3,000 satellites that, I'm sorry, 3,000 scientists that operate out of there. Most of them are Chinese. I should say a lot of them are. Let's put it that way just to be safe. Well, new satellite images show Iran wasting no time at Fordo. Bulldozers, excavators back in action. They're digging around bomb craters left by the U.S. bunker busters. The images reveal fresh construction near tunnel entrances and exhaust shafts over the weekend. So, look, the Iranian legislature said we're gonna put this on steroids, this nuke program. We're going to double down, go even faster. China, by the way, just hit a record over 1.8 million barrels per day of Iranian oil. So they're funding it that way. They're buying a lot of oil from China. But folks, the really scary part is Isfahan. Wait, where? It's actually Isfahan, sorry. I always reverse those two letters. What is that? That is the heart of the Iranian nuclear program. It's run by China. Again, over 3,000 scientists worked there before we blew it up. A lot of them were Chinese. There are not one, not two, but three Chinese reactors inside that facility. They're reactor labs. They built the reactors as part of the nuclear program. Why? Because Iran's nuclear program is not Iran's nuclear program. It's China's. They're just using Iran as a proxy. Well, here's the problem. And Trump knows this, okay? That's why he's letting them know, I'm not done. U.S. military didn't bother using its biggest bunker-busting bombs on Isfahan because they knew they wouldn't work. General Keane told Congress the uranium stash is buried so deep inside of there, even MOPs would just scratch the surface. So instead of breaking in, the Pentagon slapped basically the roof in with tomahawks and called it a day. Meanwhile, the other two, Fordo and Natanz, got the full B-2 bunker buster treatment, but this one goes down so far, it wouldn't have worked. That's why they didn't do it. When you put that with the reports that the uranium wasn't moved because they would have detected it, they would have smelled it with our tech, it's because it's still at the bottom of Isfahan. That's why. And they're clearing the path to get back in that one, folks. When you've got the head of the IAEA say they will be back in the enrichment business in a few months, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about Fordo, which CNN lied about. He's talking about Isfahan. And by the way, there's another one. It's called Pickaxe Mountain. It's another facility. We didn't bomb that one at all. Meaning, we're not done. Not even close. Oh, boy. Got this clip of Zohran Mamdani that's just resurfaced. I'm watching it at the break. This is a new one. Quote, violence is an artificial construct. which folks, the left has been telling us for a long time. They've maintained, even on MSNBC, that violence is speech if they are mad. We don't get to do violence, but they do. Quote from the clip, I'll try to cut it on the break and play it for you because I know how we are now. We're in a Doubting Thomas era where everything seems like it could be fake and you need to touch the wounds. You know what I mean? This one's just resurfaced from Ma'am Donnie. Quote, I want to empty the prisons. I want to empty the prisons, seize the means of production, and defund the police. What do I tell you all the time? Since 1848, since their leader published his seminal work, Marx, 1848, they've done the same thing over and over because it's what he instructs them to do. You know what they're going to do. Seize means of production, namely food and fuel, every damn time. And they implement some version of their thing, Marxism, whether it's socialism, they're calling it communism, it doesn't matter. That's how they control. And he's just said it. Seize the means of production. That is what Marxism is. You seize the means of production. All or as many as you can get at the moment means are government controlled. If you want to understand how it works and the reason I can see it so well, probably one of my favorite books ever written by Ayn Rand. It's We the Living. And Ayn Rand, the author, if you've listened to me for a long time, you've heard me say this before. Ayn Rand grew up in the USSR. She was able to escape. And there are very few people from inside that country that have gotten out and then written about what it was like and how it went down, how it happened, how they kept control. A lot of Americans would think, well, in the USSR, you're probably just afraid you'll disappear in the middle of the night, right? It's like secret police or something. That's how they control you. It's not. It's actually something much smarter and more efficient than fear. It's hunger. Seize means of protection. What is he going for first? Grocery stores. They always do. That and fuel. They always go for those first. You can look up the Ukrainian Holodomor. You can look up Stalin did it. Mao did it. You can look up the Communist Revolution. They start 50 million. Seize means of production. And that's exactly what they did in the Russian Revolution. She came from a middle, kind of upper middle class family, and she watched the whole thing go down. Well, what happens after that is that you get a food card. And you get what you get is you're entitled to a place in line, but not actual food or goods. And so the people with the best, who are given the best jobs, and those who got the best jobs were the most valuable to the Communist Party. You had to be a member in good standing. Everyone had to like you. You had to be seen as somebody who would genuinely, legitimately, you know, wanted to further the aims of the Communist Party. Then you got the best meal cards. You got to go in the store first, pick all the good stuff. It was deliberately designed so that if you got one of the cards at the end, there was nothing left. There's nothing left. No clothes, no toothpaste, no soap, no food. Well, what would that mean? In order to live, you'd have to buy those things, get those things on the black market. Buying anything on the black market was illegal. Trading for something on the black market was illegal. You buy or trade on the black market, guess where you're going? You're going to Gulag. You're a trader. And so they would force the people at the end of the line who are the least valuable to the party to have to exist in a black zone. Because they deliberately did not provide enough food, clothes, fuel, any of that for the population. By the way, they already had an outline for how they were going to do this under Joe Biden. I've talked about it a lot on my Battleground America podcast. It was called the Lever Act. I've laid this out time and time again. And fortunately for us, the New York Times gave away the whole game in an article in June of 2022. Because they wanted Joe Biden to get on with the environmental disaster declaration that would trigger the Lever Act. Lever Act was passed during World War I, and a lot of people don't know this, how far the left actually got with the Lever Act. Do you know they actually did manage to seize means of delivery for food, and the government controlled food? They were mandating things like meatless Mondays, and yeah, this actually happened during World War I. And it passed. It's federal law. It's probably one of the most powerful laws Congress has. So if you could trigger an energy emergency, what could you take control of. Means of production, energy. And so the New York Times wanted Joe Biden to get on with it. I think they were going to do it in term two. Declare a climate emergency and seize means of energy production using the Lever Act. Then you control it. This is why they wanted everything to be electric and not gas. It's not that gas pollutes. It doesn't. It's very clean, relatively speaking. But if everything was electric, then they could control it at the box. And this is why they wanted you driving an electric vehicle. They don't care about the environment. They know none of that climate change stuff's real. But if they can get you into an electric vehicle where it won't run if you can't plug it in, then they have total control over energy, total means of production control from the mine all the way out to your car, which will not run and will sit in your driveway and you will be trapped there unless you're in good standing. That's what they were going to do. And they were going to pair it with the social credit system and voila, total control. They may still get away with it. I don't know. They've had a lot of roadblocks go up for them. But he actually said it, folks. Quote, I want to empty the prisons, seize the means of production, and defund the police. Defund the police. Seize means of production. And again, the left had the plan to do that. Keep in mind where they were in 2022, too. I mean, they had just stolen an election. We're now finding out with the help of the Chinese and fake driver's licenses. They had just successfully stolen an election with fake votes by fake voters who were still on the rolls. I mean, they were right there. They weren't real. It was very easy to prove. And they had the Republican Party leadership totally cowed. You were a pariah if you even, you know, discussed a stolen election. They were laughing their butts off at us, and they thought they were going to have total power forever. And that's why the New York Times gave away the whole end goal. We're going to use the Lever Act to seize food and fuel. And they would have. I think that would have been either term two of Biden's or term two of Harris's. I think that she would have wanted to get reelected, so she probably would have put it off the first 4 years. He's saying the same thing. Folks, you know what scares me about him? Really, really frightening. I mean, a lot of folks on our side say this is going to be great. Everyone's going to see how he operates. They're not going to want to put Democrats in power. True. But there is a very narrow scenario, not highly likely, but possible, that this kind of socialism spreads throughout the Democrat Party like wildfire. I mean, look, these Democrats just watched him go full bore socialist and win a primary. They're going to try this in other areas. It's going to be the thing inside the Democrat Party. And if by some means they get amnesty, Katie, bar the door, it's over. We're going to be living in a socialist / Marxist regime. And so it's easy to laugh right now when they're not that scary because they don't have power and they don't have a good way back to power either because they have so humiliated themselves, destroyed their party. But should they ever get power again, you will rue the day that you cheered for this to spread. And folks, all it takes is one amnesty vote and they're back in business. And we always think it's not going to happen, but if it did, I mean, look, folks, in the first Trump term, Trump tried to do an amnesty. It would have been for 2 million, but really would have been more like 10 by the time you figure in all the fraud because they had no way of checking the documents to see if you were born here as a kid. I mean, Trump was trying to do that with the Democrats. If that happened, this is what will rule you. We don't want this to spread in the Democrat Party. We think we do, but we don't.